This is the first session of this conference devoted to the love of monasticism. Our first speaker is Mr. Nikos Alimpratis, Vice President of the Hellenic Onomastic Society and a philologist. His subject is the spiritual and social environment on Paros in the time of Elder Joseph de Hesychast. Mr. Germanidis, you have the floor. Can you not hear me? I am soft-spoken. Your Eminences, Reverend Abbots, Venerable Fathers, other representatives of the civil and political authorities of the beloved land of Cyprus, ladies and gentlemen, as a representative of the birthplace of the great ascetic and venerable saint whom you are honoring in a special way at this, your second conference, I shall speak to you, distinguished delegates, in the very little time allotted to me, about the spiritual and social environment on Paros, the island of Panagia Katontapliani, from the end of the 19th century until nearly the end of the first quarter of the 20th century. It was then that Elder Joseph de Hesychast was born and lived out his childhood and adolescence. Known in the world as Frangiskos Georgiou Kotis, he was born in Lefkis on Paros in 1897. This is according to the Register of Males of the Community of Lefkis. At the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th, this principal village had more than 2,000 inhabitants. It was, we might say, the unofficial capital of the island. Paroikia, the present capital, was then a small town and the island's port. There was also Piso Livadi, closer to Lefkis, from which cargo and passenger ships departed for Piraeus, Syros, Lavrio, Crete, and Alexandria. Lefkis was a center of commerce and education. Children came from Nausa, the lower villages Sipidos, Dragoulas, Marmara, and the settlements of Rio and Angaria to attend the village schools. There was lively intellectual activity, and some families read a variety of books. In their homes, the thoughts and reflections of family members were filled with a spiritual fragrance. Some of them became vessels of the grace of God. Elder Joseph's mother also studied the scriptures, we may suppose, although she was illiterate, and she had certainly received some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. For as we know, this woman of Lefkis was, in the words of the Lord, truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. This blessed soul, writes Elder Joseph of Vatopedi, possessed such simplicity and integrity of character that she very often saw supernatural phenomena in her life and believed that everyone else surely saw them too. This happened especially when she went to the churches, either to attend the divine liturgy or simply to care for the church. In such an environment, writes Dionysios Bantistatos, the inner world of Frangiskos was formed by all the pure Parian elements of the Orthodox Greek heritage. Faith, love, sincerity, straightforwardness, honesty, and cheerful kindness. He was steeped in the refreshing springs of orthodoxy that flowed from the monasteries of Longovarda and St. George of Lakada, where St. Arsenios had lived as a monk, from St. Kyriaki, St. John the Theologian, and St. Anthony, where the ascetic from the Holy Mountain, Abimelech Bonakis, lived as a monk from 1909 to 1912, when Frangiskos was between 12 and 15 years old. As a child and adolescent, Frangiskos also received the grace and blessing of the saintly abbot Philotheos Vosniotis, later of the saintly father Philotheos Zervakos, and of Hierotheos Vosniotis, who likewise served as abbot of Longovarda. At the beginning of the last century, their mayor was an enlightened and innovative man named Frangiskos Chaniotis. This was a community of 1,922 inhabitants, with its customs, traditions, reverence for God, daily habits, religious festivals and occupations, which were chiefly farming and animal husbandry. The only people who served as links with the wider world, especially the intellectual world, both within and beyond Paros, were the teachers, priests, and the relatively educated merchants and businessmen. Indeed, concerning his village of Lefkis, Elder Gregory Zoumis, abbot of Dociariou Monastery, writes with reference to Bishop Augustinus Cantiotis that it is understandable that moral standards there were even stricter and devotion more abundant, because the village had many ties with Longovarda. Lefkis also produced the great monk Joseph the Cave Dweller. The people of Lefkis believed in divine providence and in his emissaries, the priests and monks, who were spirit bearers and saints of God. It is therefore no accident that here on Paros a multitude of fragrant flowers of faith blossomed, such as the most venerable Athonite hero monk and 19th century reviver of monasticism on Paros, Ioasaf Nikodimo Kontos, the hero monk Marcos Chaniotis, founder of the old calendarist monastery of the Holy Theodores on Paros. Archimandrite Father Nicolaos Sarkas, the Bishops Polycarpos Liosis of Sisani and Siatista Augustinos Kantiotis of Florina, and Timotheos Negrepontis of Detroit and Canada, and others, as well as dozens of monks from Longobarda Monastery. The School of Lefkis was always a spiritual beacon, spreading the light of learning and kindling love for the faith, the family, and the homeland. The imposing and spacious building of the Pandimos Elementary School had dominated the village since the early 1880s. The magnificent marble parish church of the Holy Trinity had been built at the church's expense. The civic community and the church were two parallel, saving and refreshing streams for soul and spirit. They formed character and nurtured future men of wisdom and understanding, as well as saints, under the guidance and illumination of the teachers and several of the village priests. The new elementary schools for boys and girls, built in 1902 at the expense of the national benefactor Andreas Singros, stand at the western edge of the village, on the outskirts of the woods, and near Elder Joseph's family home. In its poor rooms lived a large family of Georgios and Maria Kotis. From there, young Franciscos would go out with his younger brothers, Linardos and Nicolaos, born in 1903 and 1908 respectively. In their free time, they played at Ramnos, where the school stood, or attended their lessons. Franciscos completed only the third grade of elementary school. His father's farming work compelled him to leave his studies in order to help his family in their struggle to survive. He would certainly have advanced in his education had he continued, for he possessed intellectual gifts, imagination, and a natural inclination toward study. According to the testimony of Dionysios Bantistatos, Elder Joseph's nephew, he was a diligent pupil of the late teacher Sophia Threpsiadou Kantiotou, mother of the distinguished metropolitan and uncompromising defender of orthodoxy, Augustinos Kantiotis, himself a spiritual offspring of Paros. Before I continue with the spiritual state of Lefkis, and more specifically with education there at the beginning of the 20th century, let us introduce the family of Franciscos Kotis, as Franciscos Peratis has made it known to us. His mother was Maria Rakusi, from the family known by the nickname Bantades. In her second marriage, she wed Georgos Kotis, with whom she had six children, in order Emmanuel, an electrician and church cantor, Nicolaos, later Athanasios, a monk of the Holy Mountain, Franciscos, later Joseph, a monk of the Holy Mountain, and Linardos, who married and had four children. Forgive me. Ergina married Miltiades, Bantistatos of Kefalonia, and they had two children, Dionysios, a theologian and lay preacher, who after his death was buried at the monastery of the Holy Theodores on Paros, and Vriaini, whose secular name was Varvara, who became a nun in a monastery at Stamata in Attica. Maruso married Nicolaos Panteleos, and they had three children. From her first marriage, the elder's mother, Maria, had one more child, Michalis, whom she bore in 1885. This was in 1885, before her first husband, Linardos Zoumis, was killed. Her youngest son from her second marriage was later given his name in remembrance. From this family also come the roots of our beloved and distinguished compatriot, Archimandrite Father Sotirios Kosmopoulos, preacher and protosyncellos of the Holy Metropolis of Samos and Icaria. Elder Joseph's entire family, a family grounded in the Christian faith, rested upon his mother, Maria, a woman of exceptional principles that she passed on to them all. When her second husband also died and her children had settled into their own good paths in life, she was tonsured a nun and fell asleep in the Lord as Nun Agatangeli. It is worth noting that within the Kotis and Rakusi families there continued, and still continues, the God-given phenomenon of deep piety, withdrawal from the world, and faithful devotion to divine things among their members. One need only consider that five members embraced the monastic life: Franciscos Constantino Kotis, a monk who lived from 1821 to 1882 and belonged to Phanerōmeni Monastery on Naxos with the monastic name Philotheos. The brother of his grandfather, Emmanuel Giorgio Kotis, Maria Giorgio Kotis, Nun Agatangeli, Franciscos Giorgio Kotis, Monk Joseph, Varvara Bantistatou, Nun Vriaini, and Maria Linardu Kotis, Nun Melani. All three nuns lived at the monastery of the Most Holy Theotokos in Stamata, Attica, under the old calendar. Our research in the register of males of the community of Lefkis on Paros produced the following chronological information. Frangiscos was born in 1897, not in 1898, as had been believed until now. 2 years earlier, in 1895, the firstborn son of Georgios and Maria, Emmanuel, was born. After the second birth came Frangiscos, who was surely named after his father's uncle, Frangiscos Constantinou Kotis, then Linardos, born in 1903 and deceased in 1947, and Nikolaos, born in 1908, who died in the 1980s as monk Athanasios on the Holy Mountain. His father, Georgios Emmanuel Kotis, is recorded as having died in 1917. He must have been born around 1860. I have mentioned a total of 7 children of Maria Rakusi Kotis, 1 from her first marriage and 6 from her second. The Kotis family departed for Athens, where all her children eventually settled permanently. This occurred in 1924, when Michal Linardou Zoumis had entered a second marriage and had the children still living today, Stephanos, Kyriaki, and Maria, according to the testimony of a son of Father Joseph. There is a prevailing view that Maria Rakusi Kotis had borne 2 other children, Ergina and Maruso, and that after their deaths, at a young age, their names were given to children later born to Georgos Kotis. This is suggested by Father Joseph's words in his 38th letter. In our humble opinion, however, this view is unfounded. Elder Joseph's closest relatives likewise insist that it is untrue. The dream the elder saw, which he recounts in that letter, concerns his 2 sisters, who were still alive. Their death, however, had been subconsciously placed in the distant future by Joseph, who, being human, was surely tormented by a multitude of thoughts and feelings. How could he not think about and often carry within his soul the family setting in which he had lived for so many years, until he was 26 or 27, along with his siblings and his mother? Whenever someone falls into very difficult circumstances, he may see in dreams things he had never imagined before. Of course, since the letter was published without the recipient's name, a date, or a signature, we do not know how old he was when he had the dream. Nor do we know the state of his sister's health at the time, whether they were still alive, or what his own condition was. Lefkes had 2 primary schools, the boys' school, whose teachers were Frangiscos Antonio Rakusis and Ioannis Leonardou Gaitanos, and the girls' school, whose teacher was Sofia Nikolaou Kantiotou. These educators were private school teachers who exerted a spiritual and moral influence throughout central and southern Paros. During the childhood of Frangiscos Kotis, the humble Levites Nikolaos Ioannou Roussos, Georgios Ioannou Aspropoulos, Dimitrios Roussos, Dimitrios Likas, Evstatios Skantalis, Konstantinos Aliprantis, and others also became bearers of spiritual and moral values and ideals, as well as servants of the local community. The first 2 in particular were its leading priests, serving respectively in the 2 large parishes of Holy Trinity and St. Catherine. They were models of integrity, diligence, and virtue. Father Georgios Aspropoulos was also a self-taught physician. He healed his fellow villagers bodily, but he was also an excellent physician of souls, that is, a confessor. God had also counted him worthy of the gift of working miracles, as Elder Joseph de Hesicas testified both in writing and by word of mouth. Joseph had spent time with him and knew him very well, especially since, as Father Ephraim said, he had been betrothed to the priest's only daughter, Maria, who appears to have died in 1922. Physicians also had a strong presence in Lefkis, and several of them had served as mayors. The most distinguished mayor of Paros, who truly renewed the village and brought with him a new air of culture, was Frangiscos Chaniotis. Within Frangiscos' family, his mother is always remembered and rightly blessed as his natural teacher during the tender and decisive years of his life, especially after his father departed into eternity, when Frangiscos was 18 or 19 years old. Yet we tend to overlook his grandmothers, his grandfathers, his female and male neighbors, and their simple, humble, single-story homes. One of them, beside Frangiscos' family home, was renovated in 1900 and has an upper floor as well. These houses still stand today on the same side of the central road of Lefkis, beginning at the well in Frangiscos' neighborhood. Yet these people too must be given their share of credit for shaping his soul and spirit, his character, and the upbringing of him and his siblings. Let us not forget that many devout residents of Lefkis read Zoe, the journal of the Brotherhood of Theologians bearing the same name, which began circulating in 1911, when Joseph was 14 years old. They also read New Creation by Father Angelos Nisiotis. As for his mother, the foremost influence in Frangiscos' upbringing, we must emphasize the vital role she played in raising him in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Her example of a holy life alone is, I believe, sufficient. With these moral foundations, a sound inheritance and spiritual formation, however modest, which should surround such a child of 8, 10, or 12 years of age, and with the grace of God, which supplies whatever is lacking, as well as the love and affection of his parents, his siblings, and all his fellow villagers. He set out to advance further. Certain events given by God also contributed as he walked the radiant path that would lead the young Franciscus, at the age of 26 or 27, to knowledge according to God, to the truth, and to life, according to the words of Christ. I am the way, and the truth, and the life. A saying also printed in the title of the journal, Zoe, meaning life. He must already have had within him a disposition toward the solitary life and mystical inclinations. His parents were not without such inclinations either. Father Joseph must have been marked out from childhood. Beyond his family environment, his friendships with children of his own age, his school environment, and the natural world, there was also his participation in the liturgical life of the church. He attended Vespers and the Divine Liturgy with his mother. He remembers her with particular emotion in his letters. Yet at one point he renounced those ties and ceased communicating with her and his relatives, because he did not want them writing to him about worldly matters, as he explained in his letters. This, of course, happened when he was already living the ascetic life on Mount Athos. I have certainly spoken at length. I mentioned the parish church of Holy Trinity, built in 1830, which is visible from every side and rises at the eastern edge of the village, built like an amphitheater. I would simply point out that within that church, gleaming in its whiteness, a church built by the deep faith and devotion of the ancestors of Lefkes, including members of the Rakusis and Kotis families, Franciscus Kotis felt the first stirrings that made him long to take flight toward other worlds where he dreamed of living. I would say that Holy Trinity, being closer to his home and its parish priest at the time, Father Georgios Aspropoulos played a greater role in shaping his character and his religious values. Lefkes on Paros, then, is a place of the soul, the lifeless things we see when we visit Lefkes, Father Joseph's house, the roads, the churches, and the rest hold within them the spirits of our ancestors. They hold the spirit of the Blessed Joseph. The very air is steeped in their conversations, their voices, and their breathing. The imprints of their hands and the traces of their footsteps must still remain. Lefkes is the Nazareth of Paros, which has brought forth great figures of our church, whom I have already mentioned, as well as Nicolaos Telas, a leading figure of the national resistance on Paros. The village of Lefkes on Paros is a remarkable place, holding within it the painful and tender childhood dreams, joys, and sorrows of those figures I have mentioned, who are worthy of immortality and unfading glory. It is a sacred and ecclesial place, forever bound to these grace-filled and God-sent figures of the 20th century. Let me express our thanks to the professor. I also wanted to mention that there is a Ragkusis family in Edessa, Iakovos Ragkusis, who came from Paros, and he too has a daughter named Maruso. She died, yes, indeed, he used to come there, so the family must have come from there. Once again, thank you very much for this information about the social environment of Elder Joseph de Hesychast.